Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas. Advent means coming. Emmanuel, the name of the church here, the song we just sung, means God with us. The celebration of the coming, the awareness of God with us, but also that Christ, God not only sent his son Christ, but why he came, that he ascended and he said he would come one day again, and to realize that perhaps just as unexpectedly as the first Advent, after a long time of hope and waiting, is his second Advent. So today's theme is hope, reason for hope. Let's pray for God's leading as we hear his word, as I share more scriptures that God's word, given by his Spirit, would touch our lives and hope, with our lives and hearts, with the meaning of hope, the meaning of Advent, the meaning of God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. Lord, may we always know thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, may you, by your Spirit's leading, that gave your word so many centuries ago, make it new and alive for us too. Lord, we pray that for ourselves and for all who gather in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that as we hear your word, we may see and know and hear you alone. And Father, there are probably many people here who come with different concerns or worries or thoughts in their mind. Lord, help us to either dovetail those with your word and how you meet our needs, or to put those aside. Lord, some of us come with joy and hope and expectation. Maybe we've had a particularly great day or week. Lord, help us to put aside whatever planning and thoughts might race through our minds to hear in calmness and truth what you have for us. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have three short scripture readings for this morning from Jeremiah, Galatians, and 1 Peter. And feel free to just listen along or to follow along. And then we will work further with this. Just something interesting, an aside. I picked up this morning, our denomination puts out a booklet called The Words of Hope, Daily Devotions. This one is for October, November, and December, the last of the 3 months. And there's still a half a dozen or a dozen out there. And I'd like to challenge you, if you don't have a devotion time that you use already, to pick up Words of Hope. And interesting that the title for this devotional, the title of this ministry, is the theme of this Sunday as well. So just a challenge there. But now we're going to take a look at God's Word, beginning at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verses 15 and 16. If you're turning to look there, I just happened to have my Bible open to Jeremiah 29 already and hadn't realized that at the end of that verse comes the word hope as well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 33, verses 15 and 16. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. Then Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Don't know if I've shared with you before, but Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 is my favorite pre-Christmas or Advent verses. And you might say, well, boy, that's not about the birth of Christ. That's not about Jesus and why he came or being born or dying or rising again. But it really is. And I taught for 20 years of my 23 years of teaching, I taught grade 3, and every year I would make the students memorize this, and they'd always like to complain how long it was, but I hope it found a place in their hearts, and maybe in ours too. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 talks about this time. But when the time had fully come, or other translations, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons, or that we might be adopted by Him. Then, the foundation for today's message, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 to 17. First Peter 3, 15 to 17. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The word of the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing to all who hear and who read and who apply it. Many years ago, perhaps still now, I recall my sisters wearing a certain charm, something around a necklace or on a bracelet. Maybe you remember it too. And on that charm were three little metal, gold or silver or who knows, symbols. And on that charm, on that bracelet, would be a cross. The cross, of course, points to faith. And on that charm would be a little heart. The heart, of course, points to love. Do you remember what the third charm is and what it points to? I almost want to be brave enough and say, somebody put up their hand and say it, but maybe I'll make it easier. Do you remember what the third one was? The third one is an anchor. And the anchor points to hope. And that reason for the anchor symbol for hope is because of Hebrews 6, verse 19, where we read, "We have this hope as an anchor." Hope is the theme for today. We have this hope as an anchor. I like how the word "this" slips in there too, because it's not just any old hope. It would be fun to ask, wouldn't it, to have a few minutes now and say, what do you hope for? Do you hope that you can have Christmas with some friends or family members? Do you hope we don't have it too bad as far as winter storms go in the next few weeks or months? Do you hope the economy will improve? Are you hoping for your children or your grandchildren? What will happen to them? If your parents have younger children, you hope the school keeps going on. I know my brother is a public school teacher just between Stony Creek and Hamilton, and weekly they have notes that go to students basically so the parents can be prepared if they have to close down, even though they've said that won't happen. Hope. What do you hope for? We have all kinds of little things we hope for. Hope that our vehicle runs safely, hope for health, hope to get that hip replaced outside of golf season. Where'd you go? There you are. Hope to get that hip replaced outside of golf season. Hope that the things we say and do make a difference. But not just any hope. We have this hope as an anchor. And you know something? Hope is important, and particularly in two times in the Bible, particularly in those 400 dark years between Joseph and his family coming to Egypt, living in Goshen, and when Moses was led by God to take the people out of Egypt. 400 dark, hard years of waiting, hoping, and praying. There were also 400 dark, hard years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Praying, waiting, no prophets during that time. The people of God ruled by other nations, sometimes simply, sometimes cruelly in Israel. And just waiting. No prophets, no word of God, wondering when the Messiah would come. Always expecting, is this child, is this time going to be the one? Will this be the generation? Will this be the year? And annually, many of them making pilgrimages, waiting, wondering. But it wasn't until the birth of Christ. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Well, how they waited and longed and hoped. I can't remember waiting. I can't imagine waiting generation after generation. I can't imagine in 1918 waiting through 2 years of the world Spanish influenza. I can't imagine waiting through World War I, World War II, the Depression, the Cold War, waiting for things to end year after year after year. Of course, now we're waiting. When is this COVID thing going to turn around? We set new records again in Ontario on Friday and in Hamilton as far as deaths and so forth. And in the middle of it, sometimes we're pessimistic and wondering how many are false positive tests, how many are just older people that are immune compromised and we're going to pass away anyhow. And we can get cynical. We can get tired of waiting and sometimes get tired of hoping. But can we look at whatever present challenges we face, particularly for the elderly or the lonely or the suffering or the immune compromised? Can we look back and realize those verses in Romans 5, verse 5? Those are worth a read too. Romans 5, verse 5, where it talks about in your suffering. Remember, perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces, the list goes on. And what's the final thing in the list of what happens when we persevere through suffering? The final thing is hope. Read those verses again in the beginning of Romans chapter 5. And I'd like to ask what present challenges you have. Can you see how much you and I need to have hope now too? Hope is an anchor in a storm. We can spend a long time saying, what good does an anchor do for a boat, and realize how vital an anchor is and how God chooses in his word to use the analogy, to use the comparison of hope being an anchor. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Almost should have suggested we sung that one. But we have great Advent hymns too. But let's go deeper than this. This isn't just a message about, oh, we need to have hope, and our hope shouldn't just be in the things around us. Our hope should be on the Lord. That's just the tip of this. Because I wanted to wrap that up together with 1 Peter 3, verse 15 to 17. I want to go deeper. Because there it says not only should we have hope, but it says we need a reason for that hope. We need to be ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies in us. And I think sometimes we forget that we need to think about what is the reason for our hope. Number one, what is the hope? Number two, what's the reason for it? But then it gets kind of scary because it's be prepared to give an answer to whoever asks what the reason is for the hope that you have. That's the hard part. The reason for our hope, being ready to give an answer. That brings up that scary word of evangelism. But you know, when you have a real faith, you need to live it out. Faith that shines, faith that's a beacon. In one class I substitute taught this past week, it was really interesting. There was a poster on the wall in the classroom. It was a Christian school. I have a public school teaching degree, but I do all my teaching in Christian schools. That's where I've got my background in, and I substitute in 5 or 6 different schools now, 1, 2, 3 days a week sometimes. And so in this Christian classroom was the poster on the wall, and it had a salt shaker and a light bulb. And right below there it said, be these, be these, be salt and light. So when we think about the hope that we are to have and how it is to shine as salt and light. But to give a reason, it's so easy to say, but I don't have enough knowledge. You know something? We need less knowledge than we think we have to give a reason for our faith, but more of the right attitude of sharing it. It's both, isn't it? But it's an attitude first. The Bible says, and songs tell us, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Why is it so vital to share our hope? I'd like to share a little story, a parable. Once long ago, once upon a time, but this is a story that has a real meaning. It's a story about a chief in a small village. And the chief had three sons. They'd had a good summer, a good fall, and fall was starting to wrap up, like it was here a few weeks ago. And the chief told his three sons, I need to leave for a while. I need to go away. I need to be somewhere else. I'd like the three of you to take charge of the village here. Well, the sons were kind of surprised going into the winter. They didn't question it. The father said to the first son, who was a keeper of all the sheep that they had, he said, son, you are the keeper of all the sheep here. Remember that my people need those sheep for the wool, so they can have blankets, so they can have insulation, so they can have clothing. They need the sheep for the meat. Take good care of my village and of my sheep. The chief said to his second son in the village, he said, son, you're the keeper of the forest. Take good care of my trees. From them we get our wood that we use for building, our wood that we use for baskets and different things we make, our wood that we use for fruit trees of all different kinds. Son, take good care of my forest and take good care of my village, my people. And then the chief said to his third son, son, you are the keeper of the stories and the songs of the village. You are a storyteller who tells the story of who we were, who we are, and you're the singer of the songs about this. Share what you have and take care of my village. And very simply after that, the chief, the father, left. And as he left, winter was just about to begin. And it began early. It began with a vengeance. And so in that small village with the three sons taking leadership, the three sons were called upon in different ways by the people in the village. The first son, well, the people came to him and said, it's cold. We need warmer clothes. We need more insulation. We need the meat from the sheep. So little by little, that first son said and gave the sheep to the villagers. But it became very hard because he was giving away a lot more of them than he thought he would. And it wasn't even the heart of the winter yet. Well, the people from the village spent more time coming to the second son as well, who was the keeper of the forest. And the second son was cutting down more trees than he thought. Trees were needed, of course, for building, for making the walls thicker on the houses that they had for the building that was needed. Just to be simply warm enough, they had to start using the trees for firewood. Oh, that firewood went fast, and that was their only way of heating. That was their only way of cooking. That was their only way of having light. And he was becoming a bit discouraged because more trees were being used and it wasn't even the heart of the winter yet. Well, the third son, he was the keeper of the songs and the music and the stories. He was really discouraged by all this. All of the sheep diminishing quickly, the trees diminishing quickly. And of course he would share his songs and stories, but a lot less frequently and with a lot less passion and power. The winter went by, the number of sheep went down, the forests were being decimated quickly, and the youngest son would share the stories and the words and the music less and less and less. The winter went on and it grew worse and worse, but finally the first signs of spring were just coming. But the people had become discouraged and more were leaving. Yeah, they could see that the meat and the wool was going. Yes, they could see that the trees were going. but they weren't hearing the songs or the stories. And they were leaving. Many were leaving. They were leaving in droves. And on one of those days, the chief came back and found his three sons sitting around a fire, all kind of discouraged. And the chief came back with great welcome, with great pomp, with great exuberance. He came to his first son. He said, "Son, how are things going?" And the son said, "Well, Dad, you left me in charge of the sheep, but we only have a few scraggly ones left. We need them all for their wool and for their meat." And yes, the father was discouraged, but he knew that his son had done his best. He came to the second son and he said, "Son, how is my forest?" "And, well, we only have a few smaller trees left and some seeds, and when we sure needed them for our fire and for our building and for our cooking and for our heat and for our light. It was a long winter, Dad." And the father was still a little bit discouraged, but the father listened carefully. He didn't hear the sound of people anymore in the village. He heard very, very little talking, very little talking of any kind, and spring was starting, and he could find hardly anyone. He came to the third son. He said, "Son, what happened?" And the youngest son said, well, Dad, I didn't see any more reason for any songs or sharing the stories. It was all so discouraging. We had to use our sheep. We had to use our trees." And the story ends kind of sadly, but maybe with a note of hope, as the father said, "But what about your gift? What about your calling to share the songs and to share the hope?" He had missed his calling. He had missed his duty. And what a job it would be to try to rebuild the quiet village. Yes, trees can grow and sheep can grow, but to get those people back, wow, that would be a job. You know, God gives trees to some people. He gives sheep to some people. But he gives hope to all who call upon him. He gives stories and the songs of the heart, stories of the past, his stories, history, and his walking in us and with us to share. And if we don't share those, that's what really gets missed. But you know, we can, I think almost in conclusion here, I'd like to just give another little short story. I love stories and parables, and as a teacher, I find I have to share at least one or two a day to make some point or illustration or humor or teaching. But there's another story. That's one story. Ends kind of sad, doesn't it? I'll give another story with a little bit more hope. We'll look at Scripture for a minute or two then, and then we'll be ready to conclude already. This is a story about an older man. Like perhaps some here, an older man by himself, and he lived faithfully, maybe a little bit like an Anna or Simeon type. Faithfully at the church, faithfully following the Lord, faithfully having hope, but yet also just wondering what was next. Wondering when he'd be with the Lord or see the Lord a bit more. And one night when he was sleeping, you probably heard this story, but in this story, this man was sleeping and in kind of a vision, he heard someone say to him, "The Lord is going to come to see you tomorrow." And when he woke up the following morning, that thought was still with him. "The Lord is going to come to see me." And he had a bit of an extra joy, a bit of an extra hope. "The Lord is going to come to see me today? Well, let me just do a little bit of extra cleaning and get a bit of extra food ready, and that will be exciting to have the Lord visit." I don't know what kind of a vision that was, but I'm going to look for the Lord today, thought the man in a special way. And he carried about his regular things and had his regular day, and morning went by and it was time for lunch, and he sat down, he had some soup, he had something to eat. And just as he was having that, his dining room window was right near the street, and he looked out and he saw someone walking by. And he thought, I'm ready for the Lord now, but I'll also just keep an eye out. And when he was looking for the Lord to come by, a poorer man came by, someone with a bit of a limp, pushing a cart. And he looked at the big bowl of soup he had and the extra that he had beside him, and he said, "Well, I guess it can't hurt to invite him in and see if he wants a cup of soup with me." And he just called out to the man as he came by and said, "Hey, I got some extra soup on. Come on and join me." Man came in and enjoyed it regularly, but readily. But then he had to go. And And the man went about the rest of his day. And late afternoon came by, and like I like to have now and then, he decided to have a cup of tea. Put on a pot of tea, and he's outside, he's looking at his bushes, he's in his front lawn, and he sees an older lady walk by, and the older lady seems a bit confused. And he's got a cup of tea in his hand, he's got his thermos sitting on his side, and he says, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And at first the lady seemed to say no and just shuffle along. He says, "Listen, I've got a cup, you can even take it with you. I've got a spare cup. Why don't you have a cup of tea with me?" And so this lady has a cup of tea with him, and they talk, and he shares a little bit of his life, and she hers, and the day went on. And very quickly it was approaching evening. The shadows were getting long. The sky was getting redder. Evening was coming quickly, and he looked across the street, and he saw a neighbor across the street. And the neighbor must have had some family or guests or children over, and in a sad way, he could see his neighbors, the couple across the street, waving as children were leaving, and kind of a tear in their eye. It looked like the license plate was from far away. And he said, "Well, I haven't seen the Lord come yet, but it sure seems like my neighbors are sad. Their kids, I think it's their kids anyhow, just left in a car, and they're still standing in the front step, just kind of waving and looking and talking. I haven't seen them have visitors in weeks or months. Must have been a good visit, but all of a sudden the man says, "Well, the Lord can still come, and I'll keep a lookout, but why don't I go over and talk to these folks for a while and see if maybe they want to come over sometime next week. Maybe we can play euchre, or maybe we can do something, or I can help them with their yard, or we can do something together before the season progresses too fast." So they talk for a while and agree they'll meet sometime, and that's all fine and dandy, but by the time he got back to his house, it was getting late. He turned on the outside lights and waited and took out a book and sat by that front living room window and almost as the evening progressed, dozed off, reading his book and waiting for what he thought would be a nice visitor. And as he dozed off a little bit, in that same nighttime, half-asleep vision that he'd had the night before, came the same vision, thought, idea, angel. And he said, "I dreamt this last night, and you told me that the Lord would come to visit me." And the person speaking with him said, "Well, the Lord did come to visit. The Lord came three times. And in those times when I was lonely and needed someone, in that time when I was hungry, you fed me. And in that time that I was walking by and needed comfort, you comforted me." And suddenly the man by the window stopped and thought and cried for a moment and realized that what he'd been looking for all along hadn't come yet. The Lord hadn't come to visit with him, but the Lord had come. And he had shared with the Lord with the simplicity of what he had. And as the visitors came and left, he had opened his door, his heart, his home, the little that he had, and it made him think once again. I wonder how many times God calls, and we need to answer. God knocks, and we need to open. Be ready to give an answer to whoever is looking for a reason for the faith that you have. You know, hope is what we can't see, but what we know to be real. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This man was convinced God would visit him. I wonder if you have a story of hope or encouragement or almost defeat, almost crushing defeat, and you saw God in it. Have you shared it? Pray that God will show you how to give a reason for the hope that lies in you, and realize it's not about knowing the right Bible verses. It's not about knowing the Lord's Word, the Bible. It's about knowing the Lord's Word, His Son. And God told His disciples straight out that His Holy Spirit would give them the words they needed and the knowledge they needed in the right time. Yes, we should pray that God gives us the right words and knowledge of His Scripture and grow in that. But the reason for the hope that lies in you isn't your ability to quote Scripture verses. We need to pray for a heart and mind and a hope that is living. And we show that hope and we share that hope as the true raison d'être, the reason for being, to have a hope, to share a hope. And let's pray not so much for the right knowledge, though that is important too. Let's pray for the right attitude. The right attitude is one of hope. He who has met your needs in the past will meet your needs in the present and will meet them in the future. And until then, let's hold on to our things a little less lightly. Let's hold on to our faith not as a piece of pie that if we think we'll give it away, we'll have less, but as something that as we give it away like a seed, it grows. And let's pray that God would challenge us to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. And one of the key words in here is my old scout motto, be prepared. We pray that we will be prepared not only to have a hope, not only to have a reason for the hope, but to be prepared to give an answer to whoever asks for the reason for the hope that we have. And then maybe one day someone will come down your sidewalk or walk down your street, or you'll need to give away more of your sheep or your trees than you think you want to. Or maybe we'll be by that campfire with a story in our hearts or a song on our lips. And I mean more than just simple melodies and choruses. Sometimes those songs make a difference. Even myself, I haven't sung that song in a long time. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Sweetest frame, anything I put ahead of God. Hope. Hope that is real hope. Hope that has a reason. And hope that calls us to be prepared to share the reason for that hope. Think about your story. Share that story. Encourage. And sometimes it's histories of crushing defeat that wasn't crushing after all, that the Lord guided us in and through, that can be one of the greatest ways we share the hope that we have. And may His words of hope dwell in us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us a hope, a real hope, and many scripture verses that tell us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But Lord, help us to remember that we are to rejoice even in our sufferings, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Given us. But given us also to share. Thank You, Lord. Amen.